I'm here to talk about some work that's actually ongoing, and so you're kind of getting a sneak peek at some of the work that we're doing in Hennepin County, Minnesota, to look at factors and indicators of not only youth mental health problems, but positive mental health and wellness among youth in the county. And I'll talk a little bit more about kind of our reason for kind of the scope of that project and some of the work that we've done, and what our next steps will be. During today's session, I'll be talking about some of the individual family and community factors that influence mental health and the process that we've taken to not only think about what those factors are, but to think about what indicators or measures of those different factors can be. I'll be talking about the framework that we're using in thinking about mental health and wellness in the county and how that is maybe different or an extension of what's been used in the past. And then I'll be offering also some lessons learned and some thoughts about next steps. I think what we're doing in the county can be done in a lot of different places, and we've certainly learned some things along the way. Now, Hennepin County, Minnesota is the home of Minneapolis and suburbs that has a population of about 1.2 million. There's about 250,000 to 300,000 youth that live in Hennepin County. It's incredibly diverse, we know that there's a lot of very affluent places within the county, as well as some very impoverished neighborhoods. The Hennepin County Children's Mental Health Collaborative is comprised of providers, county departments, corrections, school districts, parents, working together to figure out how to distribute some funding to improve outcomes for youth with mental health issues in the county. We've been working with them on their different evaluation activities for a number of years. And what they wanted to start doing is to kind of change their scope. So instead of just looking at the impact of the kinds of work that they are funding, to start to think more strategically about, well, what kind of work should we be working, should we be moving towards anyway? And so they started to work with us to try to come up with a framework or a study that could be done to try to inform future decision making, to try to build consensus around key issues. I'm sure all of you can imagine that just within the kind of diverse group of people that are involved in the collaborative, it can be hard to reach consensus around issues, and there's a lot of competing priorities in terms of funding and thinking about what issues around mental health are most important to focus on. And then they wanted to not just think about the treatment end, but to also think about ways to promote positive mental health in the county. And the time was kind of ripe for this kind of study. There's a lot of information now about kind of thinking about mental health from more of a public health perspective. There's a growing interest in coordinated care and prevention. So a lot of interest among stakeholders in that area. And we've really leaned heavily on the framework established by the National Technical Assistance Center for Children's Mental Health. They have a monograph called A Public Health Approach to Children's Mental Health, a Conceptual Framework. And that's really guided a lot of the work that we've done and has kind of helped people to get on the same page. Our goal is to develop a dashboard of indicators that describes the mental health needs and also the individual family and community factors that support mental health, and that we're looking more upstream. And again, as I said, that can be used by stakeholders for strategic planning. Now, some of you are probably familiar in kind of thinking about quadrants of need. Often when we think about mental health services, we kind of think about the horizontal continuum. Like whether a person has a mental health disorder or whether they don't, and kind of the severity of symptoms within that continuum. What we've started to do more in Hennepin County, and this is part of the monograph as well, is to also start to think about, regardless of whether or not you have a mental health diagnosis, you can be in good mental health or not. And it's important to think about a different array of strategies and prevention approaches that can be used to address the needs of all youth and to promote positive mental health for all individuals. This just briefly describes kind of what those different quadrants represent. And I think, you know, for me and probably for a lot of us that do research in mental health, we really focus a lot on kind of the quadrant for individuals that are experiencing a lot of problems. And we're really trying to really broaden a framework to think about all quadrants of people and think about broad strategies that can be used to promote positive mental health. Excuse me. One way that we can think about the factors of influence that influence health is the same way that we think about kind of any health issue or social determinants. Thinking first about some of the individual factors that are used to promote resilience, how family strengths and family issues can contribute to poor or positive mental health. Different factors in school, bullying, close relationships with teachers, those kind of factors. And then thinking more broadly about some of the community factors that really influence health, like poverty, a parent losing their job, some of those things that lead to chronic stress in the lives of children and in families that lead to a lot more instability, and that aren't necessarily things that we think about when we think about mental health among youth, or among adults for that matter. So in terms of thinking about different factors that can influence mental health, when we think about individual level factors, there's a lot of research demonstrating the factors that contribute to resilience among youth. Things like having a strong attachment to parents or other adult caregivers, having a sense of purpose and a sense of self-esteem. Maybe more important to some cultural communities than others, having a strong cultural self-identity, and the ability to be able to form relationships with peers. And as I mentioned, when we talk about community factors and school factors, we're looking more at things like strong social networks. So do people feel like they have someone that they can lean on in times of need? Do they have a strong peer group? What about perceptions of safety and crime rates within neighborhoods? What do we know about socioeconomic factors? There's research that demonstrates the availability of green space is important, and also exposure to violence. So those are some of the different kinds of areas that we've been looking into. Our approach to this study has been anything but linear. We have an advisory committee that gives feedback to our process on a regular basis, and we've been doing a series of lit reviews looking at factors that contribute to positive mental health and that contribute to poorer mental health outcomes. We've also conducted a series of youth and parent discussion groups in the county to get their ideas about what factors in their lives contribute to positive mental health. And we've been not using the words mental health, but really talking about what in your life makes you feel stressed. And then given that, what kinds of things do you need or do you have in your life that help reduce those feelings of stress? And that process of doing the discussion groups, I think, has given us a better language to be able to use as we kind of share this dashboard and as we report this out within the community. And it's also validated that a lot of the measures that we are using are not just important in terms of what's available through the literature and what we know through more academic studies, but also really resonates with youth and families in the county. For instance, you know, we had youth that are really talking about the impact of poverty and their parents losing their job on how they're feeling and the amount of stress that they're having in their life. And I think hearing that from youth really validates, you know, looking at the impact of poverty and really encouraging decision makers within the county to consider that when they're doing their program planning. Excuse me. So the framework that we'll be using and the way that the report will be laid out is to talk about, you know, who's living in Hennepin County. We'll be focused on how many children are experiencing emotional distress and in mental health problems, trying to look into whether mental health problems are being identified early and treated, and then also look at whether youth are experiencing healthy development and how youth are supported by their family, school, and community. As we're thinking about indicators, I think it's important to keep in mind just what a good indicator is, because there's lots of different ways that we can measure all of these things, but we're really trying to find information that's relevant, that's valid, that we know is research-based and that comes from a data source that we can go back to repeatedly. And it was really important also that for our purposes that we had something in place that was affordable and data sources that were readily available. There were some things that ideally we would like to do and include in our dashboard, but it just wasn't feasible to be able to repeat this, you know, every 2 years or 3 years if we were asking for a new analysis or asking for information that wasn't readily available. And that kind of limits the kinds of indicators that we can use for this type of project. I want to give you just some examples of some of the key indicators that we are using. In terms of things like poverty, census data provides good information about the percentage of children living in poverty. We're also looking at measures like the percentage of women who receive adequate or better care during the first trimester. So are kids getting a good start on life? Are they starting off with good physical health as well? We're fortunate in Minnesota to have a tool called the Minnesota Student Survey, which has a lot of really strong indicators around mental health, around connectedness. This combined measure, for example, is one that we worked with the state to develop that looks at a number of experiences around trauma, different whether a child has experienced physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, some things like that. In the revision of the Minnesota Student Survey, they're actually incorporating kind of a youth set of versions of the adverse childhood experience study items that we'll be integrating in the future. We're looking at a few different measures of family and school connectedness. So for instance, the percentage of students who feel that a parent or other adult cares about them somewhat or quite a bit. And relationships with caring adults. The Hennepin County SHAPE Survey is another local survey that's administered every 3 years that also has some good information about relationships with caring adults, perceived safety in neighborhoods, some things like that that aren't readily available through census data and other existing data sources. And as I mentioned, community safety is another factor, another measure that we're looking into. The challenge in this project is that a lot of the kind of indicators of resilience are things that are not available through existing data sources. Self-esteem is difficult to measure and isn't something that is readily available in any of the sources that we have locally. We had interest in looking at some kind of indicator around the availability of quality parks and green space. And although we can get some measures of the presence of green space or parks, it's hard to look at availability and quality as well, and so we decided not to have an indicator in that area. It's also been surprisingly difficult to figure out just measures of service utilization and screening rates for all children. As we've been putting together this dashboard, we're able to get kind of slices of information. So we can look at screening that's done through primary care, screening that's done through the corrections, through early childhood services in schools. But it's very hard to get a holistic picture of then what percentage of youth overall are being screened for a social-emotional problem by age 5 in the county, and probably more important, who isn't and who are we missing. It's also been difficult to be able to do some rigorous reporting of differences by race and ethnicity. For a lot of the dashboard measures that were included, we're looking at differences by socioeconomic status, because that's kind of the most, most of the data sources can be broken down that way. And it isn't meaningful within our county to look simply at differences between whites and non-whites for strategic planning purposes. We also know that additional neighborhood level data is needed to look at neighborhood characteristics, so things around neighborhood safety could be done more at a local level, and to map service assets or gaps. So there are certainly some challenges that we've had in coming up with this framework. The next steps that we have in place are to finalize the dashboard and report, and to right now we're working with a set of about 40 different indicators, and we're working with the advisory committee to narrow that down to about 10 items that will be used to kind of tell the story of youth mental health and wellness in Hennepin County. And we're have a meeting at the end of this month to kind of finalize that piece. The goal from that also is to not only have then this information available at a county level, but to be able to give some recommendations about at a local level what kind of information could be used. So the Minnesota Student Survey data is available aggregated at a county level, but it's also available at a school district level, and so people can take a closer look. We can also make some recommendations about additional kinds of community survey data that people might want to collect more locally to look at measures like self-esteem, self-efficacy, some things like that among youth that aren't readily available. And then to develop a process to distribute and discuss these results. So overall, this whole process has actually taken a couple years. We did kind of a phase one scoping of the study where we did key informant interviews with a variety of stakeholders at the state and county level, with parent advocacy groups, with school districts, to really talk to them about first of all, whether they would find some value in something like this, and to start hearing from them how they think about youth youth mental health problems and how they think about wellness. And it was interesting during that process that it was really easy for everyone to come up with ways to measure problems, but it was really introducing kind of a different language to talk about how we think about positive mental health and the ways that different agencies are supporting wellness, particularly when we were talking to people from corrections, for example. That process, though, was incredibly important in terms of getting buy-in to this whole project. We're relying on local stakeholders who have ready access to the data and who can help with analysis to help us get the information for the dashboard that we need. And without that buy-in to kind of the concept of this, it wouldn't have gone anywhere. There's also kind of a changing language, I think, that's happening through the collaborative, where there's more emphasis in talking about positive mental health and wellness. The plans moving forward are to have some discussion groups around this, to use this information in strategic planning, and I think the collaborative is also understanding that the dashboard doesn't necessarily answer all the questions that the county has about how to prioritize their funding, or even about everything that they would like to know about the different factors that are influencing mental health. And in some ways, we can think of this process as kind of opening the door to kind of invite more inquiry and kind of leading to the next more rigorous set of evaluation questions that we'll be answering over time. Excuse me. I think some of the other things that are important to note just in terms of this process has been the need to include people at different levels of the organization to really talk about these concepts. They're kind of the visionaries of different departments that we've spoken to who have the big ideas and kind of the more holistic picture of what problems are impacting youth and different ways that they might want to think about promoting wellness. And then there's the data people who are the experts on the surveys that are in place. And those two people are not necessarily talking, and it felt like often we were kind of the bridge between the visionaries and the data experts to figure out not just what are the concepts that resonate the most and that align with the literature that is available, but to also figure out the data sources that are most important. The other thing that has been kind of challenging in this process is, although I think that there's a growing understanding of, you know, the social determinants of health that we think about, things around community safety, poverty, all connectedness, social or neighborhood cohesion, kind of changing demographics within neighborhoods. We know that all of those things influence health. There's been less conversation about how they influence mental health. And there isn't just a single kind of strand of literature to go to kind of build all of those connections. And so the literature review component has been more difficult than we expected, just because it is kind of taking information from a lot of different threads, a lot of different fields of study. Let's see. So I'll look forward to, well, we are anticipating that the dashboard will be done at the end of this calendar year, and you can certainly go to our website. It'll be published and available at that point. I think the process that we've taken has been a strong one, where it's been able to kind of bridge a lot of communication and increase or build a different language around mental health and wellness, and I'll look forward to the questions that you have when the other presenters are finished as well. Thanks.